You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If you're shopping for a Browns fan this holiday season, shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop this holiday season. Visit the Team Shop at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop from the comfort of your home online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Another tough one for the Browns, who have dropped five in a row now. And we wanted to get some barks from the dog pound, so let's get to Pat in Chesterland joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hi, guys. One of the things that really has become apparent to me the last several weeks is that this team desperately needs a playmaking, pass-rushing outside linebacker. And you know, the red flag for me is we still need that playmaking outside pass rusher after this front office invested a big free agent contract in Paul Kruger and the sixth pick in the draft in Barkevious Mingo. And the same front office people who gave us Mingo and Kruger are the ones who are going to make the decisions regarding those two first-round draft picks next year and all that cap space. So in my mind, it all comes down to player evaluation, and there are some real big flags raised by how the front office used its assets last offseason.
I don't know about you say red flags. To some degree, I hear what you're basing this on, and it's fair to say you've invested in pass rushers. You've made that a priority of your push in 2013. And are you getting enough production from it? I mean, I think the pass rush as a whole can't be called weak. Is it the strongest in the NFL by far? No. Has it had some downward turns after some early success? Yes. In the most recent breakout game, I mean, they did have the four sacks and the pressure against Tom Brady.
And Sheard got another.
Two by Kruger. Sheard got another yesterday. That counts. I mean, we can't ignore that. And we also can't ignore Sheard being, you know, as you say, the same people who make those personnel decisions also made the decision to keep Sheard in this mix. I'm not ready to throw up my hands and say it's been an abject failure that their approach to this past off season that they blew it. I can't say that now, but I also won't try to tell you or say this was out of the park home run either. We're seeing some signs, I think, from Barkevious Mingo that he can be an effective pass rusher. He can also be way out of position in pass coverage. It's not that is an issue with him. He's not going to give you a whole lot in run support, but I think we knew that going in. I think he needs to develop physically. I think he also needs to develop his game mentally. But I think that Barkevious Mingo you're seeing through 14 games now in 2013 is going to be a much better player in a full season in 2014. I'm counting on him improving. I don't feel that that's by any means a miss at six overall pick, and no one I talk with around the league says that the Browns blew that pick. The Paul Kruger signing right now, not even close to commensurate with the money he's being paid, and I talked with him about this earlier in the week. I wrote about it for ClevelandBrowns.com. He fully acknowledges he has come up short in the way of production versus money, but I think his chance to do that, short of being defensive MVP and sack leader of the NFL, that's really what he would have had to be to match the kind of dollars he got in free agency.
I'll agree with that, and I think also when you look at him, he's actually done a good job at getting near the quarterback. He is amongst all outside linebackers in the NFL, sixth with 36 quarterback hurries this year, but he's only turned that into four sacks. And if you look at the other people above 31 or more hurries, all of them have eight or more sacks. So he just hasn't done a good job of sealing the deal. He's been around the quarterback quite a bit. Jabal Sheard actually has five sacks, and he himself, you know, only has 26 hurries. So Kruger's getting there. He's not sealing the deal. That's something he's got to do a little bit better job. Jabal Sheard, I like, and it's basically the Browns' problem. And Barkevious Mingo is a work in progress. But I think he was, even though he was the sixth pick in the draft, I think in many ways he was somewhat of a project to become a complete player. Absolutely. And And I'm willing to give him time and give him a full offseason. I think he was, remember, if he suffered the injury against Detroit in the preseason, which robbed him of a lot of that early work that he would have gotten to season himself. Yep. He's had to kind of learn on the fly, play a bigger role than was anticipated right off the gate with the Jabal Sheard injury that was suffered early in the season. So I think that this group will end up being fine. I also know that if you get better on the back end, and I think the cornerback position is still one that needs to be worked on alongside. I think Buster Skrine has played great this year and can be a very good third corner. I'd like to see one more excellent corner added on the outside, and I think that will help because a lot of sacks can come from coverage. There can be coverage sacks. There can be pressure sacks. The Browns need to be able to get both. I don't think they get very many coverage sacks right now.
I'm agreeing with you on Mingo in a big way. I think there is some development there that was understood when he was drafted. People don't want to necessarily hear that, but you don't always get a pick at any position, let alone outside linebacker, who's going to come in and be everything in year one that you need him and want him to be. Of course, you bring aboard a player, you're paying that player to make a huge impact. I think he's made an impact. He's not been MIA. I mean, the guy's been out there and he's definitely doing some things that are notable. He hasn't done enough, but he'll do more. I just think there's got to be a level of patience there that I'm willing to have. Let's go to James in Cleveland with us on the line now. Hey, James.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on when you guys were mentioning about how we were player for player against some of the teams that we played already. But I didn't hear you guys mention after halftime of those games that we were in the lead and then we suddenly lost it. So you guys didn't compare our coaching staff with some of the things. Maybe that wasn't on you.
I don't know if you tuned in at the beginning. That was basically the entire leadoff of the show, was that this team's inability to finish games. They've blown a fourth quarter lead now in three straight games, and we're trying to identify what the reason that is for that. Is it the players? Is it the coaches? We even talked about Ray Horton in that sense and what's going on with his defense. So maybe you just tuned in a little bit later, but that certainly was something we addressed. In fact, that was the leadoff of today's show.
Okay, he might have caught it a little bit later, but yeah, it's on the table with everything, James and whoever else was asking that particular question, that coaching has to be accountable along with everything else. I think, again, I'm not using this as an excuse. I want to say, and I think it's fair to say, Nathan, that the coaching staff, this head coach in particular, is a first-year head coach. There's a learning curve with him that I think you get with first-year head coaches. You accept that going in. First year, not first year hired with your team with years of experience as a head coach, as Andy Reid is in Kansas City. This is a guy who is going through the first-year head coaching growth and development with the Cleveland Browns, Rob Chudzinski. And I think there's some learning about how to, when you're going head-to-head with Bill Belichick. And yeah, maybe you could say, well, he took Bill Belichick right down to the point where he should have been able to beat him. And you're right. You get skunked on an onside kick, which is, if you want to define one play, one moment, others will say, no, it's officiating. Others will say, you could point to multiple areas where that game went awry for the Browns. But it still comes back to, it doesn't change that as a head coach, he's matching with that guy. Now, against the Bears, he's matching with another first-year head coach in Mark Trestman. And Mark Trestman versus Ray Horton, for the most part, or the Bears' offense versus the Browns' defense, hey, that's a win for the Bears. Do they have better personnel and more talent offensively than the Browns had to counter with defensively? Yes. And they got a lot. It got a lot better. That thing got tilted even more when Joe Hayden left the game.
And for a person who's as optimistic as I am, the one thing that I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about is the fact that all of the investment was made on the defensive side of the ball, and it has been the defense that I think has not gotten the job done 3 weeks in a row. Now, I'll say 2 weeks for sure, New England, and I think Jacksonville, because of the way that those games finished. This week, you still have to give the defense credit for generating three turnovers and scoring 14 points themselves.
Right.
So I don't want to put it completely on the defense. But in the fourth quarter, again, to give up 21 offensive points, you're not going to win games in the NFL doing that. You can't win games in the NFL giving up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
There's no way you can do that. And, yeah, when you make your commitment to the offseason to we're going to have a better pass rush. We're going to have a stronger front seven. Going with this 3-4 scheme, radically different scheme than what you had, a more passive 4-3 approach before under Dick Geron. When you're doing all of that, that has to be the thing that wins you games. That has to be the thing that allows you to compete in games consistently. And at times, it has been, but not enough. And we're seeing, really, in this last month, or certainly since December began, we're seeing a troubling trend that does speak to its inability to kind of finish and close out. But when I say that, I can't leave the offense out of the conversation. I certainly can't leave the fact that the Browns have no ability to go to a power offense, a four-minute offense, if you will, with a running game, to complement and help a defense that, you know, when it succeeds, needs that kind of help.
Yeah, the problem is in the last three games, the Cleveland Browns have been outscored 49-21 in the fourth quarter. You score a touchdown, the Browns scored a touchdown in each of those fourth quarters. So yes, offensively, like, you know, that's okay, something, but to give up 49 points in the last three games in the fourth quarter, 21 this week, 16 to the Patriots, and then in probably the most egregious of all of them, to give up 12 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, two of those came via safety. That is where the Browns have not been able to get the job done, and that's where, really, in my opinion, this season has gone, you know, from being, because if we're sitting here and they hold fourth quarter leads 3 weeks in a row and they're 7-7, you're feeling a whole lot better about this team.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
saying, okay, we're a couple pieces away. And right. In reality, I think that is true. I still believe that it is true, but it is tougher to swallow and tougher to digest. And it's disappointing to me that this defense, which is supposed to be the backbone of what's being built right now, has been culpable for what's happened in many ways 3 weeks in a row.
No denying that. No denying that at all.
And that's what makes me sad. That's what bums me out here on this day. But the United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. So join us and live united to be positive at UnitedWayCleveland.org.
Didn't the jambalaya, though, that was served at lunch cheer you up a little bit?
It was actually very good. And I wish Carly was here because I wanted to see her rating
Louisiana
of the jambalaya.
Rating. Yeah. She went to a really good, she's going to talk about that next time she's here, restaurant that she said was authentic. And I think her parents were in town from Louisiana and called it like a top three. And we're talking about Louisianans coming to Cleveland to have top three Louisiana food.
That's a strong recommendation. That's right.
All right. We've got much more coming up. We are going to get the roundtable together in a little bit. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. That'll be forthcoming. More of your calls. And we know there are some of you who are on the line who we will get to because it is a day that we want you to share your opinion. Some of you might vent. Maybe the venting's over. Maybe it's just more. It's less about venting and I think more about kind of analysis. 216-578.
What can we do? Right.
Exactly. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. @Browns_daily is our Twitter handle. And want to hear from you. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR.